Hello, everybody. This is Joanna Lindenbaum, and I'm so, so happy to be here with you today. Welcome, welcome to Catalyzing Breakthroughs. I've been waiting for you, and I've been waiting for this day and for the start of our training, and I'm just so excited, and I hope that you are too. We're going to be moving through a lot together over the next eight to nine weeks. We have some weeks off because of the holidays. So I want to, before we jump in, I want to just talk a little bit about why I'm so excited to be here with you and also why we're here. So, of course, the biggest reason why we're here is for you to go deeper into the art of being able to catalyze breakthroughs with your clients. For you to be able to co-create even better results with your clients, for you to be able to go even deeper with your clients so that they can have bigger ahas, bigger breakthroughs, bigger openings and understandings, which, of course, all of those things, the breakthroughs, the ahas, the openings, the understandings, those things more than anything else are what lead our clients to more effective actions, which lead to change. When we're able to catalyze deeper breakthroughs with our clients, what happens is they end up feeling more appreciative of the work that we're doing together. They become more invested in the work. They get more excited about the work. They bring more of their own energy to the work, which always then creates change more quickly and in bigger ways. So over the next 8 weeks, I'm going to be giving you all of the building blocks to create and catalyze breakthroughs. Now, when I say building blocks, let me just be clear, these are not just beginner or rookie strategies. They are the foundational tools, the foundational strategies, like listening skills, like breakthrough questioning skills, like creating deep awareness. But just because they're foundational does not mean that they are basic. We're going, even if you are a very, very seasoned practitioner, and there are quite a number of people in this training that are very seasoned and incredible at what you do, even if you're seasoned, we're going to be looking at these foundational pieces in ways that you haven't before, and we're going to be going much, much deeper. Now, these foundational skills that we're going to be looking at and mastering over these 8 weeks, they're the building blocks, not just of breakthroughs, but of all of the fancier techniques, techniques like working with shadow, like my Befriend Your Fear process, like rewiring negative thought patterns, inner child work, helping clients get off the wheel of self-sabotage, all of that. So all of those fancy techniques are great, and of course I teach them. I teach them in other trainings, but the heart of those fancy, whatever you want to call them, but those fancier techniques, the heart of them is what we're going to be looking at here in catalyzing breakthroughs. Because without these foundational pieces, you can't do those fancier techniques effectively. And in fact, you end up getting yourself into trouble when you try without these techniques. you will, through catalyzing breakthroughs, get some fancy stuff. You've got a bonus on the resistance archetypes and how to navigate the resistance archetypes. You're going to love that training. It goes really deep into, you know, how to really support clients who are in deep, deep resistance to the work that you're doing together. You're going to learn a lot about yourself personally through it, but I don't recommend listening to that bonus training right away. Gather some of the skills, the main skills that we're going to be getting through our live calls first. Now, I do want to share, and this is important for the work that we're going to be doing together. It's important just no matter what practitioner you are. I want to make this distinction for you, because even just understanding this distinction will help you support your clients better. There is a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. The term breakthrough and the term transformation are thrown around a lot in the transformational industry, in the coaching industry, in the self-help industry, you know, all of that. But they're not, what I find is most people don't really understand what each of those things are. And more importantly, they don't understand the difference between the two. As a practitioner, when you can understand the difference between the two, then, and no matter what it is that you practice, then you can really help your clients create more change. So let me just share how I see the difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. A breakthrough is amazing, but it's relatively easier to create than a transformation. A breakthrough is when you support your client to come to a new understanding of something, to see a new way of being, to come to a new idea. These new understandings, seeing the possibility of a new way of being or new idea, these are potent. Right? These are potent breakthroughs. But that is different than a transformation. A transformation is real and long-lasting change, which is ultimately, you know, what all of us want, right? Real and long-lasting change. Now, you need breakthroughs in order to yield transformation. But they're not one and the same. In order to co-create transformation with your client, you want to catalyze the breakthroughs and then help your clients apply those breakthroughs, those new understandings, those visions of new ways of being, those new patterns, those new connections. You want to help your clients apply those breakthroughs persistently and consistently until transformation is created. So really, all that you're going to be learning, and I hope that this excites you, all that you're going to be learning over the next 8 or so weeks isn't just about breakthrough, but it's the building blocks of real transformation. Now, what I just described are all the main pieces of why we're here and what we're going to be doing together, but there are also some extra benefits to all of the work we're going to be doing over the next 8 weeks. So number one, we're going to be doing a lot of inner work. I am, for those of you that know me, you know that I am such a big believer that in order for us to be stellar practitioners and stellar leaders and stellar and successful entrepreneurs, we must do our own inner work, even if you've already done a lot of inner work. If you're here, I know you've already done a lot of inner work, because I only attract people that have already developed themselves so much, right? And kudos to you for doing that. And we're going to do more over the next weeks. So you're going to find that this is a personal journey for you. In addition to that, some of the other side benefits of the work we're going to be doing together is if you have a team, you're going to see that you communicate much more powerfully with your team and leverage and utilize your team in way better and more effective ways. And in fact, just your communication with anyone in your life, professional or personal, is going to go through an up level through the work that we do together. The other side benefit, and I know that for some of you here, you want this too, is we're going to be looking, all of the principles and all of the techniques that I'm going to be teaching you and that you're going to be really taking in and all of the inner work, we're going to look at how to apply that to your actual marketing and to the sales end of your businesses. We're going to be applying all these principles to marketing and to business. The other side benefit is through this work, because you're going to become an even better practitioner, you're going to have more confidence in your work, and more confidence always equals better and more effective marketing. When you can really stand behind your marketing promises, when you really know that you're doing incredible work with your clients, you speak more boldly in your marketing. You allow yourself to become more visible, and all of that helps to grow your business. So there's a lot that we're going to be looking at over this time. For those of you that know me, you know that my mission is to raise the standard of quality in the transformational industry. It's an industry that I love and one that I owe so much gratitude to. And that being said, with people becoming coaches and guides so quickly these days without training or without experience sometimes, there's been a lot of surface trends and in the industry and fluff over the last few years. If you're here, I know that you're someone who already goes deep and is in deep integrity and brings integrity to your work, or else you would have run far, far away from this training. So I just honor you for that, and I want to let you know that we're going to be going even deeper. Let me spend a couple of minutes just sharing how the training is going to work so that you understand all of the components and you can really leverage it and show up fully and really use it for all the ways that you want so that you can really benefit from it. So most of our calls, all of our calls will be 90 minutes. And most of those calls are going to be training calls, like our call today is going to be a training call. And during that time, during that 90 minutes, I'll be sharing a lot of information with you. But I also like for things to be interactive. So we'll pause for shares and for questions, and I will coach you. If you can come live to these calls, amazing. The more that you can interact, you know, that's great. But I know that our schedules are busy. Some people go through 10-month programs with me only listening to recordings. So long as you listen and you do the work, you will also get what you need that way. But if you can really show up live, be present in the live container, ask questions, I really highly recommend that. Some of our 90-minute calls are practicum calls. Those are when you'll have opportunity to practice in this container the skills that we're learning. You'll be able to practice with community and also get feedback from me. Those are also incredibly powerful calls where you do most of the work. They're highly interactive. We're going to have a Facebook group for the duration of the training, and that is there for you to connect with me and for the other. There's incredible people in this group for us to all connect with each other. I'll be sharing additional resources in there, doing like little mini trainings in there. Sometimes if you have questions that come up in between our sessions, that's for you to like really get what you need as you're integrating and just in between sessions. I am very responsive in Facebook groups. I usually check in once a day at least. And I just, I am really, for those of you that know me, have taken other courses with me, you know I am here for you. I want to really give you exactly what you need. And so ask me. Ask me on our calls. Ask me in our Facebook group. We do have the benefit of this being a really intimate group. And so we can really go even deeper together. Some of you may know I had a family emergency just as I was promoting this training. And because of that, I wasn't really fully present to letting folks know about the training. And so, you know, actually one of the things we're going to be looking at today is energy, right? Like my energy wasn't fully there. So what that means is we have the gift of this being an intimate group. I think some more people will come in over this next week, but I love intimate groups. They're the best. Like you use it to your advantage. You've got me here. If you would like, and I'll be inviting you all to that Facebook group later today. And the other thing is, this is optional. If you would like a practice partner, we'll be sending out an email for that. If you have the time and space, I always recommend practicing skills. I'll be giving you homework, you know, for your partner work, and we'll match you up with someone. It would be about an hour of your time for each call that we have starting not this week but next week's call. It's a really great way to just go deeper with the skills and to build your confidence and to get feedback in a safe space from someone who's going through it with you. Last thing I'll say, and then we're going to start jumping into the actual curriculum for today, is that especially because everybody here is such a wise person, and also there are a lot of experienced and seasoned entrepreneurs here and practitioners here, some of what I'm going to be sharing at first is going to seem obvious. Like, oh, duh, I already knew that. If what I share at times is obvious to you, that is not a moment to tune out. That is actually a moment to perk your ears up and open up even more to get to the deeper layer, the next evolution of it for you. I promise you, there are so many layers here for you to go deeper, even with the practices that you've already been practicing. So notice for yourself when you may want to go into resistance because you already know it, and my invitation is for you to perk your ears up even more. All right. So with all that being said, and since we're just on this topic of resistance, I want to just talk another moment about resistance here. When someone, you or your client, is ready to grow, right, and you get hired because somebody is ready to grow in one way or another, there's a very high chance that even though they want to grow, that their ego is also going to resist the work a little bit, the work with you, the growth work that they're meant to do. It doesn't matter how much they desire the outcome, the result, the growth. For almost all people, there's also going to be an element of resistance. And that's because where there's a growth opportunity for human beings, there's also often fear. It goes with the process, right? If we're serious about growing, there's also sometimes a fear, often a fear around growth. And when there's fear, there's resistance, because resistance is a symptom of fear. As practitioners, and as smarty pants, really wise people who help other people with this, we can often overlook our own resistance to our own growth process. And I want to just briefly look at that fact right now as we step into our journey together. You're here because you are ready to grow. You have results that you want to create. But you may also have some resistance to this process. And that's just normal human behavior when you step in, when you say yes to a growth opportunity. So to just help with that a little bit, I want you to answer this question for yourself. Take a moment and journal on this. Why are you here? Right? Sometimes when we can remember why we're doing something, it can help with the resistance a little bit. Why are you here? What is the reason or the sacred purpose that you have said yes to this experience? What do you really want from this experience? Connect in with that. Why are you here? And jot down a couple notes for that. Why are you here? What do you want from this experience? It's always good to get connected to that why. So in trainings like this, the resistance, if you have any, can show up in lots of different ways. I'm going to just share with you some of the most common. You can see if you've got any of that going on, because we just want to name it, right? So sometimes the resistance can show up as, am I going to really have time for this? Am I going to be able to make the time for this? Or maybe the resistance is, oh, maybe I don't really need this. Or maybe the resistance is the thought of, this is too advanced for me. Or the thought of, this is too simple for me. I'm too advanced for this. Or sometimes the resistance can show up as the thought of, what if it won't work for me? Or I really like video so much better than just audio calls. What if I can't follow along, right? So those are some of the thoughts, the ways that resistance can show up in our thoughts. And then sometimes it can show up in our actions or in our non-actions, like not showing up for calls or listening to the recordings, not doing the homework. I forgot to mention that. One of the components of the training is that you'll be getting homework each week, worksheets and ways to go deeper and integrate, right? Now, it's not a lot. I don't like to give busy work, but you'll be getting some juicy homework. But sometimes our resistance is we don't do the homework, or we know that we want to participate, we want to ask questions, you know, but we don't do what we need to do to get our needs met. So lightly just check in for yourself, what's your brand of resistance right now? Just name it. Let's just be honest with it. Just see it for what it is. What's your brand of resistance? Could be either here or just like in other ways that you see in your work, in your business. Probably for almost everybody here, there's at least one little brand of way of resisting right now. And then just the last piece, for now on this, is now that you just kind of, you see why you're here, what you really want, and you can just see also, you know, maybe how you might resist some of the things you might tell yourself or things you might do or not do. What is the commitment that you would like to make for these 8 or 9 weeks? This is just for you, right? What's your sacred commitment to yourself around the work that we're going to do together. Maybe for you, the sacred commitment is to really make time for each of the calls. Or maybe for you, the sacred commitment is to open up and really listen deeply to find the deeper layers for yourself. Or maybe for you, the sacred commitment is to really actively take this every week into your client sessions or into your life. What is the sacred commitment for you? And then whatever that commitment is, just take a moment with it. Hopefully you wrote it down, but now take a moment and actually commit. Make it real for you. Take it into your heart, your body. Make a sacred promise to yourself around it so that you can really make this count in all the ways that you're ready to make it count, so you can get to your why, right? You can create what you want for yourself. Okay. So for the rest of our time together today, oh, and I should say, once we're all in the Facebook group, and like I said, I'll get you invites, if you want to share your commitment, I'd love to see it. So for the rest of our call today, we're going to go deep into the topics of the energetics of the coaching relationship. And I always, always look at energetics first when I train before diving into any of the other skills. Because the energetics are at the heart of everything, as you'll see, and we're going to keep on weaving back to them. So what are the powerful energetics of being a coach and really of being any kind of practitioner? Well, what I'm talking about here really with the energetics is literally the foundation of all of your coaching, mentoring, teaching, healing, consulting, advising, whatever it is that you do. Powerful energetics are about you as the practitioner setting the stage to have the most transformative and successful and effective client relationships possible. And the energetics are about you as the coach truly understanding that a strong relationship with your client is the basis of everything that you do together. I'm going to say that again. A strong relationship is the basis of everything that you do with your client. Because if your relationship isn't strong, it doesn't matter how amazing your questioning is, or how dynamic your strategizing skills are, or how effective you are at helping people leverage shadow, they are all going to fall flat if the relationship isn't there. So I know that if you're here in this training, you're interested in supporting your clients to succeed at their goals. And if you're here, you're probably also interested in not only helping them succeed at their goals, but in truly supporting them to grow and transform. And here's what you need to know off the bat about this. Whatever your expertise or your modality is, whether it's helping your clients become healthier or find romantic relationships, or move forward in their careers, or build their businesses, or shift and transform in their bodies, whatever your expertise is, And no matter how smart and effective the nuts and bolts information that you have to share is, or, you know, how great your modality is, the nuts and bolts information, the how-to, the modality, can't ultimately on its own help people achieve their goals or transform themselves, their bodies, their lives. All of the content and the how-to, the nuts and bolts, the modalities are so useful and wonderful and obviously so, so, so powerful and important. But that's not what changes people. That's not what transforms people. And that's not what creates breakthroughs, at least not in the ways that you think it does. What changes people is the relationship. In this program and in Sacred Depths, my 10-month practitioner training program, we call it the container. What changes people is the container that you deliver your how-tos and your modalities in. What changes people is your energy and your presence. Your energy as the practitioner or the teacher or the healer, and how you direct energy in coaching sessions, as well as in any interactions in between coaching sessions or whatever sessions you do, is bar none. How you, as the practitioner, show up is at the heart of all of it. It's what supports the creation of change for your clients. And then all of your amazing content, skills, modalities, all of that then works to support all that's being shifted and transformed and healed through your presence. Again, like I said earlier, I know that this may sound obvious, but I want you to really take this in. This is about your presence. And energy follows energy. So when you aren't embodying the energetics of a transformational practitioner, your client literally feels it, either consciously or not. It doesn't matter how well you know your expertise. There's going to be something that's off if you're not embodying the energetics of a transformational practitioner. It will be harder for your clients to really take in the information that you're sharing, or the modality, the healing modality that you're sharing. It will be harder for them to execute a strategy or take action steps. It will be harder for your clients to trust you and to trust themselves, which is so essential, right, to creating change, and to trust the work that you're doing together. When you're not embodying the energetics of a transformational practitioner, it's harder for clients to feel motivated and to stay motivated. It's harder for them to work through the inevitable obstacles that come up during any growth process or healing process or goal-reaching journey. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship with confidence in yourself, your client will have confidence in you. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship or just the relationship with the client with confidence that your client can succeed, she will then have the confidence that she can succeed. Energy follows energy. If you come to the relationship with unconditional love and acceptance for your client's imperfections, then she's much more likely to be able to have more love and acceptance of her own imperfections. If you as the practitioner come to the relationship not freaking out when there are obstacles, but instead trusting that obstacles can be worked through, then your client is much more likely to be much more patient when her obstacles inevitably will show up, and to trust that she can get through them with your support. For any of you that have small children or have had small children or have been around small children, you might know exactly what I'm talking about when I say energy follows energy, right? If a little child falls and, you know, hurts their knee, how you show up as the adult directs some of how the child is going to respond. If you show up and freak out, the child is much more likely to freak out. If you show up with a sense of calm and peace and trust that healing will happen, the kids still may cry. I can't say that they won't, right? But it still impacts the child's energy. So it's the same with our clients. And that's exactly why we're looking together at energetics first, and how to create that powerful relationship with our clients first before we go to any of the other skills or techniques or tools. We don't want to overlook this piece, because if you don't get the energetics, then, again, none of the rest of it really matters. We need this foundation first before we can add anything else onto it. Any, you know, questioning skills, creating awareness skills, all of it. This foundation is vital because it allows you to honestly look at and then course correct any misaligned inner dynamics or fears or perspectives or limiting beliefs that might be going on for you as the practitioner, even before you get to any specific client interactions. Working on those inner dynamics for you as the practitioner helps you to be more clean, more grounded, more present, less prone to being triggered, and much, much more in your zone of genius and leadership with your clients. Now, when you can put these powerful energetics in place, you'll discover that your relationship with your client will contain what I believe are the 7 most important dynamics that you need for a successful client relationship and to be able to successfully support your clients to achieve transformation and results. And I want to tell you what these 7 dynamics are and write them down. These are the 7 most important dynamics for successful client relationships and for client results. They're obvious. As I go through them again, I'm going to say that, but I want you to really take them in. So first dynamic that's so important for successful client relationships and to co-create results with clients is mutual trust. Mutual trust. You trusting your client, knowing that she can achieve what she wants to achieve, trusting her to show up, right? And then your client trusting you to hold the space, to support, to guide. We need that mutual trust for any kind of successful client relationship. Along with that is the next dynamic, which is mutual respect. And again, while I know these are obvious, just as I go through them, check out for yourself where it may be wonky for you and clients or for you in friendships or family members, whatever it is, right? Because we know better, but sometimes how we show up isn't quite matching up with what we know, right? So mutual respect, respecting our clients, and our clients need to respect us for there to be success for them. Next dynamic, partnership. You don't ever, and this can sometimes happen without us even realizing it, where we take over responsibility for our clients, right? Where we're doing most of the work, where we're pulling them through, and then it ceases to become a partnership. For transformation to happen, for results to happen, for healing to happen, it needs to be a partnership, right? We can't do it to or for our clients. It doesn't matter how powerful, and I know we're all very powerful, but it doesn't matter how powerful we are. We can't do it to or for our clients. It has to be a partnership. The more that we can have that trust and respect for our clients, the more likely it is to be a partnership. The fourth dynamic of a successful client relationship, and that really helps create, you know, energetically helps create results, is having room for creativity. So what I mean by that is not having canned answers or just one way of doing things, right? When we think we already know or we always do it just the one way, then there, creativity is dead. There aren't new ideas that are emerging, right? And you will get to this, you know, later on in the training, but then we've actually ceased to listen to our clients and to what's going on, right? So we never want to have the canned answers, even if you do a lot of consulting in your work, right? Or you practice a particular modality. We want there to be room for co-creation and creativity, for new ideas, new solutions, aligned solutions to emerge. Fifth dynamic is always to have clear and honest communication. Again, I know, so obvious, right? But sometimes that can get wonky. And when we're not communicating clearly and honestly with our clients, the energetics are off. The container is off. And then there's less trust in the container, right? And that's when things can start to break down. So we always want there to be clear and honest communication, even when it's hard sometimes, which it sometimes it is. Sixth dynamic that's so important for successful client relationship, client result, is to always believe in your client's vision and in the highest for your client. This is about really believing that your client is capable 100%. I always say, you know, when I'm having like an enrollment conversation with a potential client, if they're sharing their vision with me, what they really want for themselves, and I can't really see it for that client, then I'm not the practitioner for them. Even if it seems like a fit in every other way, if I don't have full belief in my client's vision and the highest possibilities for them, then I'm not going to be the right practitioner for them. Now, sometimes we need to do our own inner work, right, because of our doubts and our fears and, like, all the things, right? It doesn't mean that we shouldn't work with the client. We just need to do our own inner work around that. We're going to be talking about all of this today. And then the last of the seven important dynamics for successful client relationships and client results are healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries. And we could do a whole call just on this one. In Sacred Depths, I do a whole call just on this one because it's such a biggie, right? But boundaries are important. We don't, like, us sometimes as practitioners, we want to give everything. But when we do, and when it turns into, you know, going way over in session time or allowing people to just not show up for sessions and then reschedule or, you know, whatever the thing is, when we don't have the healthy boundaries, it actually doesn't serve our clients. It erodes the relationship too, because it starts to eat away at that mutual respect and that mutual trust. Okay, so those are the seven dynamics that we want to just really check for in our client relationship. So now that we've defined those dynamics and what powerful energetics are and what they can yield, then the next question is, okay, so how do you achieve all of this? How do you make all of this that I've been talking about happen? Well, there are a few tools that you want to have in place in order to achieve this type of relationship and these types of energetics that I've been talking about. So let's take a look at them. And again, just want to say, these tools are pretty obvious. If you're a human being who's interested in helping others and who is self-aware and who knows a little bit about human behavior, and everybody here does, then if you've got these qualities, which you all do, then so much of what I'm sharing, you're going to probably say, oh, of course. But even though it's obvious, as soon as you hear it from me today, the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today are things that most practitioners don't automatically think or put into place on their own without being taught. It's like we know these things, but we don't actually do them until we become uber conscious of them. So that's why I'm really sharing all of this with you today. Okay. So first tool to be able to achieve all of this is you want to equalize the playing field. Equalize the playing field. What does that mean? So an equal playing field in the client relationship and context means that you as the coach are approaching the relationship as if you and your client are two equal partners. You see the both of you as wise, as able, and as mutually worthy of respect. And by the way, one of the reasons I believe that our healthcare industry is like breaking down a little bit right now is because so many healthcare practitioners aren't approaching their patient relationships in this way. They're not seeing the both as wise, as able, and as mutually worthy of respect. Now, of course, you and your client both have different roles in the relationship. You have certain information or expertise or skills that your clients want and need. But that being said, there is no person in the relationship that is better than the other. There is no person in the relationship that's more powerful than the other. There's no person in the relationship that has a higher status than the other. When you have an equal playing field, that's when the trust that I was talking about earlier begins to get created. That's part and parcel of where the mutual respect that I was talking about, that's key to the powerful relationship, gets started. When there's an equal playing field, then you've created an environment for you and your clients for true partnership to happen, for open communication to happen. So that sounds like a no-brainer, right? But the truth is that many practitioners aren't actually approaching their client relationships with an equal playing field, even if they think they are. And for those of you that are seasoned practitioners and are really good at this, I just want to share, like, you know, for myself as a seasoned practitioner, I believe that this is lifelong maintenance, right? I still, even though I teach this, I still need to consciously come back to this piece for myself sometimes. If you're not conscious and aware of it, if you don't actively work at this, it's actually really easy to fall into the trap of not totally owning your own expertise or not seeing yourself as smart enough or intuitive enough or anything enough. And when this happens, then you also start seeing your client as maybe smarter than you or better than you or too powerful or intimidating or overpowering. Like I said, you might get intimidated by your client or maybe scared that he's going to judge you, or maybe you get angry, or maybe you're scared that your client is going to get angry by something that you say or suggest. It's almost when you start to think of yourself, the practitioner, as less than, it's almost as if you forget that your client is another human being, and you start seeing them as just like a, you know, cold robot who you have to be careful around. And then when you do that, maybe then you back away a little bit from boldly speaking the truth as you see them, the ones that your client needs to hear, speaking truths about a client's patterning. Or maybe you back away from an idea that you have for them. Or most importantly, when you do this, you simply don't bring all of yourself forward with love to really create a warm and intimate and trusting relationship. Right? So that's one way of not having an equal playing field. You, as the practitioner, approach the relationship with your client as less than your client. And by the way, for those of you who also want to improve your enrollment processes, your sales calls and sales processes, you want to be aware of this too. You need an equal playing field for a successful sales conversation. If you approach your prospect as you feeling less than or intimidated by the prospect, it's not an equal playing field. It's not going to be as powerful. Now, the other way of not having an equal playing field is when you, as the practitioner, come to the relationship somewhere inside of you believing that your client isn't as good as you are. Maybe there's a little assumption inside of you that your client isn't really enough in some way, not enough to follow through on their commitments, or not enough to show up or to really achieve their goals, or maybe an assumption that their body isn't strong enough to heal. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that your clients don't have challenges and crosses to bear. Of course they do. We all do. But that's very different than believing that the client isn't good enough or can't. And by the way, this usually shows up subtly. We may not even be consciously aware that we're making these assumptions or have these beliefs. So in either scenario, either you approaching with yourself as less than, or you approaching assuming that your client is less than, in either of those scenarios, you're setting yourself up for having a very hard time to help in the ways that you want to help. because if you set it up in either of these two ways, really you're energetically creating a relationship that's about fear or shame or miscommunication instead of one that's about alignment and openness and an equal meeting of the minds. And by the way, again, even if you're super seasoned, you know, this can come up, right? So I'll just give you an example. About a year ago, I took on a new private client who is highly uber successful corporate coach, very successful. And, you know, I really had to check myself. So as a corporate coach, she really had so much experience, right, in corporations. That's less of my own personal experience. And in our sales conversation and even our first session, I was really catching myself feeling like, oh my gosh, how could I help her? Like, I'm not good enough. What do I have to contribute here? She has so many years in corporate, you know, how am I going to help her, right? And I really had to do a little inner work there and realign and see, like, yes, of course, she has this wonderful experience and has achieved all of these things, but she's coming to me for X, for Y, for Z, all these things that she really needed from me, right? And I had to remember that I was bringing so much to the table. That doesn't happen these days very often for me, but it does happen, right? So we really want to check ourselves to make sure that we're clean and we're really coming with an equal playing field. So here are some clues that the playing field that you've created may not be equal. Number one, if you're feeling nervous or inadequate before, during, or after your client interactions, probably it's not an equal playing field. Number two, if you're not being totally honest in your communications with your client, like I said earlier, if you're not calling them out on things that they need to be called out on, or you're not making certain maybe edgy suggestions that you sense they might be ready for, chances are it's not an equal playing field. Here's another clue. If you see that you're focusing a lot more on your own needs or concerns or fears when you're interacting with your clients, instead of focusing on your clients, right? So what that might look like is you have thoughts going through your head of, will I be good enough? Will she be happy with the work that we do together? What if she doesn't like me, right? If you're making it about you, then you're not making it about your client, right? Which obviously you want to be doing, but it probably means that the playing field isn't equal. Here's another clue that the playing field may not be equal. If you feel drained by the relationship, so if you feel drained, it might just be that it's not an aligned client, right? Which sometimes it just, that is true. But I find, like, you know, 8 times out of 10 or 9 times out of 10, a practitioner will feel drained by a client who could be aligned, but the problem is that they haven't created an equal playing field. And that's what's draining them. If you notice that you're pretty consistently concerned that your client isn't going to succeed or feel like they got their money's worth or, you know, reached their goals, if you're pretty consistently concerned about that, chances are there isn't an equal playing field. Now, here's one that I really want to emphasize. Here's another clue, and it goes back to this feeling drained piece. If you, as a practitioner, are doing way more than you need to be doing, if you're showing up, right, so doing way more than you need to be doing, then the playing field isn't equal. So if you're showing up either from a less than place with your clients or taking over responsibility for your clients because you feel like they're not able enough, then you end up doing too much. We spoke about this a little bit earlier. And then the playing field is unequal. And again, when you do this, you're actually doing a disservice to your clients and a disservice to yourself. I remember when I first started coaching that this was me. Because I'm a savior. I've always been the savior in my family. I've always taken over responsibility for others, and I was doing this in my client relationships. I was pulling them through. I wanted it for them in moments more than they wanted it for themselves, and I was doing the work for them. And that is a disservice. So how do you equalize the playing field? Well, the first is to do work around the following beliefs. I want you to write this down. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. We want to do work to really believe this. There is no need, no matter what work you do, there is never a need to fix your clients in any way. Yes, of course, you may have suggestions and tools for them, but first things first, it's your job to give unconditional love, respect, acceptance, and a sense of how valuable your client is. You want to believe that they are whole and complete exactly as they are. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. Think about your current client relationships. And if you're not currently working with any clients, you can really take a look at any of your relationships with friends, family members, colleagues, children, whatever it is. What are the places in your client relationships or relationships with others that you're making the client less than you? What are the judgments or assumptions that you're making about your client? Take a moment and write some pieces down here, and I want you to get as specific as possible. Where have you really been feeling like your clients or other people that you're in relationship with are less than whole and complete? Now, again, this doesn't mean that they don't have challenges. Of course they do. That's why they've hired you. But there's a difference between a client having a challenge or having a learning curve and a client being detrimentally flawed or not good enough. So, for example, the difference between, detrimentally flawed, example is like he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. Or she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success. So where are the places? Just make notes for yourself where you might be doing this. I do this with my kids sometimes, and I have to catch myself, and sometimes with my husband too, if I'm being honest, right? So where are you doing this? How are you doing this? What are the beliefs? Now, I want to just Like, if you've written some things down and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this, and you're judging yourself or, you know, horrified or whatever it is, I want to normalize this for you. The reason why I'm sharing this, the reason why I'm bringing this forward, is because plenty of very good practitioners can fall into this sometimes. I certainly have myself. And I've seen many, many, many people do this, people that I've supported, and so that's why I'm bringing it forward for you to think about. So wherever it is that you're making the client less than, or you're making judgments and assumptions about their flaws or not good enough, let me just ask you this next question. How is it impacting the relationship? How is it impacting your relationship with them? It can be a client, or if you're looking at a personal relationship, what does it do when you make the other less than? What is it doing in the relationship? So one thing that's really helpful is just to number one, just this awareness that we're bringing here, right? Just to be aware of it is going to start shifting how you approach. But another tool that you can use here is to reframe your assumptions. So, for example, instead of Jack will never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. A reframe there is, it's really challenging for Jack to stick to a food plan, but he's asked for my support for a reason and with intention, and I really sense that with encouragement and accountability and food planning, he'll be able to do it. Right? So we wanna honor that it's challenging. We don't want to throw that out. We have to remember that as the practitioner. But we want to move from like this detrimental flaw to equalizing the playing field and opening up possibilities. Again, because remember, energy follows energy. If we don't believe that he's going to be able to stick to a food plan, it's going to be that much harder for him to stick to a food plan. I really believe for coaching or like any kind of practice, you know, there's always two narratives going on. So one is, our clients have come to us for a particular goal, right? So like in this example, maybe it's to lose weight or to get healthier, right? So that's like the obvious narrative that's always happening. But if you've created a really powerful relationship and energetic container with your client, then there's always a second narrative going on, which is that the client relationship is teaching, modeling for the client new dynamics for themselves, right? So in the case of this example is belief in self, right? Belief that they can stick to something, even if they never have before. We always want to take that dual kind of narrative into consideration. That's what creates the biggest transformations. Or here's another example of a reframe. So from the one before, instead of she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success, a reframe there is Rita may have the tendency to fall into her victimized self, but she's incredibly smart and self-aware, and I know that she wants to change her habits. Right? Just that alone is going to shift the energy. Okay, so our clients are whole and complete as they are. The other piece is I am whole and complete exactly as I am. Right? So not only do we need to believe this about our clients, but it's important to believe this about ourselves in order to equalize that playing field. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. And I want you to think about your current client relationships, or again, if you're not working currently with clients, just take a look at any of your relationships in your life. What are the places that you're making yourself, where are the places that you're making yourself less than? And what are the judgments that you're making about yourself? See if you can get as specific as possible here. Where are you making yourself less than? And again, how is that impacting the relationship with the client when you are making yourself less than? What are you seeing there? Or the relationship with the other person? So, similar to before, a one really great tool is to reframe, right? So, for example, if you're making yourself less than by saying, you know, like my skills just aren't masterful enough to help Joey accomplish X, a reframe there is, you know, I may not have all the skills that I want yet, but I know that my intuition is spot on, that I have experience in this, and that I'm really going to be able to hold deep and valuable space for Joey to create what he wants to create, right? Whatever it is. Now, just like it's important to know that your client is completely whole and complete exactly as they are, and to know that you're whole and complete exactly as you are, another vital ingredient to creating a powerful relationship and an equal playing field is to also know that you're not perfect, and neither is your client. And I bring this forward because the myth of perfection is something that every single time is going to get in the way of you knowing that you are whole and complete, or you knowing that your client is whole and complete. When we fall into the myth of perfection, and most of us do this without even realizing it, we know better and we just fall into it. When we fall into that expectation of perfection, or for everything to go forward smoothly without obstacles or, you know, whatever it is, then there's no way to see ourselves or our clients as whole and complete when the inevitable obstacle comes up, right? So we all also just want to check. I know when I, you know, being a Virgo, I fall into this actually pretty easily. I have a tendency to think that I need to be perfect, right? I know that when I fall into this and I don't check myself, that's when the quality of my work really goes down and the quality of the relationship goes down, because I'm holding myself up to a standard that is unrealistic. And then when I'm not meeting that expectation or that standard, I'm beating myself up for it, right? So we want to just really watch for that as well. The next piece that's important for an equal playing field is to know that you don't need to have all of the answers. As a coach, as a healer, as a teacher, as any kind of practitioner, again, and this is related to the myth of perfection, right? As soon as we start to believe that we need to have all the answers for our clients, that's when it ceases to be that partnership, that co-creation that I was talking about before. It's easy to fall into it, right? Because we want to look good. We want our clients to feel like we're an expert and we know all the things, right? But actually, like, when we fall into that, creativity dies and co-creation and partnership dies, and we're holding ourselves again to an unrealistic standard because none of us can have all of the answers. Again, I know this is so obvious, but just check for yourself when you fall into some of these things. It's so important to be aware of. Next piece that really helps create an equal playing field is remembering that you don't need to be anything but yourself. Another obvious one, but check and see when you do this, right? And especially these days with social media and we're all up in everybody else's business and you see how amazing other people at least say they are on social media, when do we fall into a belief that we need to be something different than who we are or show up differently than who we really are? As soon as we go there, we're not believing that we're whole and complete exactly as we are, and then we're actually not bringing what our clients need. Our clients have hired us for us, not for someone else or something else. And by the way, you know, a marketing note, when we try to be someone else in our marketing, then it's already setting up expectations for us to be something other than what we are when we deliver, right? When someone has hired us, it's not a good foundation or energetic to start things off on. So, you know, I'll just give you an example for myself. I think this will be helpful. When I do business coaching, one thing that I'm really clear on and with when I speak to a prospect is that I'm not one of those business coaches that is going to promise to fly you to the moon and back overnight, not going to make you a millionaire overnight. I've actually never seen it done, but for all of those tons of business coaches out there that promise that, like, I don't know how, I don't know how they do it, right? For me, and I'm very clear with this with prospects, it's like a slow and steady process of creating a sustainable business. And if you're looking for the fly you to the moon and back overnight practitioner, that is not me. Now, when I do this, a couple of things happen. Number one, as I was saying, I don't ever have to worry about, like, meeting an expectation that I can't meet with a client, right? Because I've been really clear about who I am. But number two, the added benefit is that people trust me even more. They feel even more connected to me. You know, my ideal client is a client who values integrity, right? And they feel more integrity then coming from me. And they also feel like I'm speaking their language, right? Like around sustainability and persistence and consistency and steadiness. So we want to bring this into our marketing as well. And then next piece here to help create an equal playing field is to remember that you as the practitioner are not solely responsible for anyone else's growth or results. the moment that you start to believe that it's your sole responsibility to make it happen for the client is the moment that the playing field is no longer equal, the partnership is no longer there, and the client is no longer seen as whole and complete. All right. I've been talking a lot here. I promise you every call after today is going to be more interactive. I just had a lot I needed to get out today. But we have some moments left. You'll have homework for this week. But before I give you your homework and before we wrap up, I'd love to hear from a couple of you. What are you seeing here that's really important for you? What is really standing out? What are you taking for yourself? What are you noticing? Start to raise your hand. I'd love to hear from a couple of you, one or two of you. What are you seeing? And we're a small group today, so raise your hand. Don't be shy. Or where are you feeling stuck with this? Or if you're not getting it, tell me too. The star two. I know somebody. Oh, here we go. I knew there was going to be at least one raised hand. Who is this? 6264 are your last numbers. I just took you off mute.
Oh, I had myself on mute too. Hi, this is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hello. So I am loving this. I'm re-entering into this. It's all resonating beautifully. I'm loving it. And I think the playing field, right, was really hitting the mark with me today. And where I still believe that I come to it seeing that the client is capable and complete and, you know, all of that. But I have been not coming as complete and whole, you know. So it's the things here on my side. And then I'm not showing up fully and confident and serving in the best way that I can. So
Yeah. There's
some good nuggets there that is like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that and bringing that forward. It's amazing, isn't it? Like as soon as you see how you're showing up as less than, you can all of a sudden feel like the potential if you were to show up with that equal playing field and the power that could be created and come through there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is good. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'd love to hear from someone else, one other person, star two, who wants to come forward. Cindy.
Hi. I am, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. The thing that just is really fascinating to me, and I've been a therapist for like 16 years or something like that, is the idea of trusting your client. Like the most basic thing, but I feel like you go through so much of school talking about you're going to be working with people's resistance. People are going to be resistant to change, all this sort of stuff. And I think it just automatically erodes at the idea that you can trust your client because you're already anticipating that their resistance is going to cause them to not show up. So then it's already from the beginning setting up this dynamic. So just like that's something I think that no one in all my years of school has ever said, yeah, your client is going to be resistant, but you have to trust that they're going to show up to do the work.
Yes. Yeah, there are tools that you want to use if they're, right, if they are resistant to help them show up. But, yeah, it's a game changer to even trust them in their resistance, right?
Yes.
And, I mean, like, to even put it on a personal level, right, like we all of us have resistances. Imagine if we trusted ourselves even when we're going through resistance, right? It's just a total game changer.
Yeah.
And so, again, like those two narratives that I was talking about or those two threads, this speaks to that other thread. You know, when you have a client who has been in resistance for so long, when they first come to you, they're still gonna be resistant. But energy follows energy. Like, you know, they're not only going to, you know, hopefully get out of the resistance or get what they want, but if you love them and see them and trust them even in their resistance, you're going to help them build that muscle for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. Great. Okay, good. So what I would love is a couple things. So first of all, as we all get into the Facebook group later today, if you want to share your takeaways, what you're seeing from our call today, or any place where you might be stuck, and I'll help coach you through it. You know, I'd love for you to share and connect there. You're going to be receiving a homework sheet, which will help you go deeper with the concepts that we looked at today. There's some questions and journaling homework, and it shouldn't take a long time. You don't need to give it more than a half hour, but I highly recommend going deeper with it, doing the homework, and I'd love to hear what comes through there. And then you should also in the next few days be receiving an email if you'd like a coaching partner to practice the concepts that we're learning with. And those, I'll do a whole Facebook Live in our group on, you know, what to do with your coaching partners. I'll be giving you different assignments every week. But generally, so you understand how it works, it would be a 60 to 75 minute call. You probably want to do anywhere between 4 and 6 of them over the course of the training. You can decide, we'll match you up with someone. You can decide how many you want to do once you're matched up. And both people get to coach during that call. So each person will have about 25 minutes to coach, and then you'll have 5-10 minutes to kind of break down how you coached, what worked, what didn't work, you know, in general, and then based on the specific assignments I'll be giving each week. For some people, you're super busy, you don't have time for it. For others, if you can make the time, again, I really recommend it. It's just a great tool, and it will help you really go even deeper into all the skills. So any last questions or anything that you want to share, last takeaways before we wrap for today, star two? All right, then I will trust that we're complete for today. Just a big hug to all of you. I'm so glad for your presence, and I can't wait to go deeper and to hear all of your takeaways on Facebook. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.